For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have 0 blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and T-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Might do your job.
Live from BMW Welt in Munich, Germany.
Belichick is now that guy. Is he looming over this process right now, do you think, Tom?
Every discussion I have, that's one of the first ones that everybody brings up.
Belichick, where is he going?
Jacksonville.
Do you think Doug Peterson really gets fired there?
Today's guests: Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer and 2-time MVP Kurt Warner, NFL Network host Colleen Wolf, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel from Munich, Germany, inside the iconic BMW World, or as the locals call it, BMW Welt. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen. We've got Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson here in Germany with us, and you, wherever you are, at 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel, live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have a Sirius XM Odyssey tune in, and more. We say hello to anybody who's listening on the Cumulus Podcast Network to this show, all 3 hours available through any way you get your podcasts. And I need to just describe the scene to everybody here, because this is a first for us in many different ways. It is the first time that we are broadcasting the Rich Eisen Show internationally. We've done many remotes before, but this one is unlike any other. We are in Germany, in Munich, Germany, where I'll be calling the Giants and the Panthers live on NFL Network, or right here on the Roku portal. You can stream it on NFL Plus. It's the first time we've ever done a show at night.
Yes.
Because wherever you are taking in this show in the United States, East Coast, West Coast, the sun is shining. Here it is not. It is, well, I mean, it wasn't shining during the day either. But it is, it's a nighttime show. It's 6 o'clock local time here, right, in Munich, Germany. So those are two firsts. And here's one more first for you. This is the first time in 10 plus years that I have hosted the Rich Eisen Show jet lagged out of my gourd. I am absolutely jet lagged out of my mind. I literally flew in from the United States, landed about 3 hours ago. Yep. And here I am. So, you know,
rocking
caffeinated,
like a hurricane,
fired up, rocking like a hurricane. We've got three this is our studio.
This is our studio. So yes, in studio.
Right. This is I guess
in Welt
guests. Yes. That's, they will be in Welt with us here in Munich, Germany. Joe Thomas, who I'll be straight up with you, I asked to show up in Lederhosen. I don't know if he's going to actually do it. Last time I saw him in Munich 2 years ago when we were broadcasting the Bucks and the Seahawks back home to everybody else, Tom Brady and Pete Carroll. That was just 2 years ago,
wow,
by the way,
yeah.
For their respective teams, quarterback and head coach. Last time I saw Joe here, he was in full Lederhosen, like literally like he was looking for a Ricola blowing into whatever horn it was. Seriously. So we asked him to show up there here in that. And we'll see if he walks in about 15 minutes time in full Lederhosen. Kurt Warner's going to be here in hour number two. I'm broadcasting the Bears, the Giants and Panthers with him later on this weekend. He'll be joining us in studio. And Colleen Wolf, who's in town as well as part of the in-stadium Allianz Arena action. She will be here in hour number three, also a member of our Rich Eisen Show Fantasy Football League.
That's right.
That is just
right.
like everybody else's league, including right. the National Football League, entering week number 10. You guys have been here for a couple of days already, right?
Yeah, so we got in Tuesday afternoon. We shot some stuff with BMW yesterday. I went to Allianz last night for the Bayern Munich Champions League match. We have had ourselves a time so far.
Have.
It's been awesome.
And again, we're going to have a great time here. And by the way, just because we're in Germany, you could still call us 844-204-RICH, number to dial. International rates do not apply. It's the same old thing.
Adam is on hand.
Is he on hand?
He's there waiting.
And Del Tufo's back in the studio.
Del Tufo
as well.
And Feller, apparently.
That's right.
Oh, is that right? It's a great combination. So, yeah, we're getting ready for this game here in Munich between two and seven teams, one coming in red hot in the Carolina Panthers having won.
Right. There's a definition of red hot. How dare you?
Please, let me be. Let me be.
The Red Rifle didn't play.
And the Giants came close to beating the Washington Commanders. And there's two and seven teams here in Munich. Two of seven teams that are 2-7 entering week number nine in the National Football League. Seven 2-win teams. There's five 2-7 teams and two 2-6 teams because they've already had their bye weeks. A little bit further up the standings, certainly in the American Football Conference, the game tonight that you're going to be able to watch right here on our Roku portal through Prime Video. You're going to be able to watch that tonight between the Ravens and the Bengals. And this is a huge football game, gents, because the last time these two teams faced one another, the Cincinnati Bengals had just come off of their first win of the season, having beaten the aforementioned Panthers. And, you know, it was an Andy Dalton revenge game at the time. The Bengals had just won to try and start digging out of an 0-3 hole to start the season. They took on a Ravens team that they were up on with 8 minutes to go by 10 points. And if you remember this game between Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson just trading one punch after another, the Ravens got an interception of Burrow later on in the fourth quarter, having just scored a touchdown, and then Justin Tucker tied it, and this game went to overtime. And if you can recall, Tucker actually made that field goal to bring it in overtime. And then there was a fumble. Lamar fumbled it in the opening possession of overtime. The Bengals just kind of, fumfered around a little bit, try to get it a little closer.
They ran three running plays, didn't make any sense because the pass had been working. And then Evan McPherson...
Well, it was a bad snap. McPherson couldn't make the field goal, gave a short field to the Ravens, and then the Ravens won it in overtime. So if the Ravens win tonight, they will have swept the Cincinnati Bengals. They've already lost to the Cleveland Browns as one of their three losses on the season, and there's their two games against Pittsburgh still to come. There's one at Pittsburgh that's next week in week 11, and then a week 16 Sunday nighter in Baltimore against Pittsburgh, which is leading the division, coming off a bye with Russell Wilson now at quarterback at 2-0, taking on the Washington Commanders later on this week. So if the Ravens win this game, they would be 7-3. They would have won seven of their previous eight games going into their next two road games at Pittsburgh and then the Harbaugh. That would be of significance for sure if the Chargers keep on winning. A home date with the Eagles, then there's a bye, and their final four starts at the Giants, and then they have that significant short week scenario that three other teams have. They're all the four Christmas Day participants that have to play the Saturday before Christmas in week 16 and then the Wednesday of week 17 on Christmas. The other teams are Houston, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. That's that Thursday night, the Saturday night game against Pittsburgh, and then the Wednesday game at Houston before they finish at Cleveland. So the Ravens need this one tonight to keep the momentum going and sweeping the Cincinnati Bengals and basically telling the Bengals, you're not getting back to 500. You are not going to have any shot at this division. Good luck to you the rest of the way. Or the Bengals finally get back to 500. They will be missing, it does appear, T. Higgins, not going to be able to answer the bell for a second straight game with that quad injury. T. Higgins had two touchdowns in that week four loss in overtime. And you know how I feel about the Bengals, man. I just I cannot quit them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's kind of like, you know, broke back football right now. You know, where I can't quit these guys right now with the Bengals. So I'm still believing in Joe Burrow's MVP campaign. I know they picked up Khalil Herbert, which is not going to be that, I think, significant, because Chase Brown is going to be starting right now without Zach Moss.
He's going to spell him. He's just going to provide a blow.
Backup,
you know,
actually.
A few plays here and there, a catch here, there, a run. You know, Gesicki played great last week.
Right.
You know, I just, man, can they stop Lamar? Can they stop Derrick Henry? That's the first question one and 1A for this defense. And if they can, they have enough offense to kind of stay in this game. I don't know.
Yeah, Derrick Henry ripped off a 40-yarder in overtime after the missed field goal to just set up Justin Tucker for the bunny to win it.
Yep.
And Henry, as we all know, has just been absolutely outstanding all season long. He is the leader in rushing yards, the leader in all-purpose yards. Saquon Barkley is too. And Barkley is taking on the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. And the Dallas Cowboys, it's Cooper Rush season. TJ Jefferson.
Yikes.
I want to get to this with you right now before we bring Joe Thomas out, who is in fact here, but he is not in his lederhosen. It's okay. I'm fine with that. It's a little cold out.
You were a little disappointed.
It is cold out.
It's a little cold out.
I will
out.
Say it is chill.
But I heard this two stories. One is on the news wires. One is not.
Okay.
The one that's on the news wires is that Dak Prescott's hamstring injury is so severe that the hamstring ripped off the bone.
Yeah.
Which
sounds painful.
Well, it sounds painful. Yeah. It sounds gruesome, to be quite honest with you, because you usually want your bone in, you know, for your hamstring.
I prefer my wings without bone.
Understood. So Dak Prescott is going to be out for the foreseeable future. It's their first of two games against Philadelphia. Then they have a big-time game against the Houston Texans that would love to put this star pelt on their wall. And then after that game, they're at Washington, which would love to just put the star pelt on the wall for their rookie quarterback, who has been outstanding. And then there's their Thanksgiving game. And if they IR him in advance of this game, it's possible he misses all those four. It's not possible. Then he would miss four games leading into that Cincinnati game in week 14. It's getting late early. That's what I read on the newswire. What I did not hear on the newswire, but I heard as soon as I walked into BMW Velt today, is that you have proclaimed that you're off the Dallas Cowboys. Is that true?
Where are you getting your info from?
The man to your left.
Oh, you told him what I said?
Yes, he did tell me this.
Look, here's the deal. I feel as though, Rich, I'm being... You know, half of my identity seems to be a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Of course, yeah.
And
you have a flag at your desk in the studio.
But the fact is, the Cowboys, they're not playing well, and they're losing, and people are starting to associate me with being a loser, and I like to associate myself with winners, all right? I didn't get this far in life hanging out with losers. So every time people want to, like, I'm getting flowers from Carl Anthony Towns? No, disrespectful
see,
that is?
See, you see, this is what TJ's doing right now. It's very similar to his Price is Right experience, which, as we all know, did not end well.
It ended great.
Is that you're going comedy here instead of actually handling the business at hand, which is... Are you off the Dallas Cowboys? After 30 years, you're off the Dallas Cowboys? They've beaten it out of you completely? Is that what you're saying?
Look, when I told Chris this the other day, it came from a place of pain and hurt.
Where was this? Where was it, in the airport?
No, we were walking down the street.
We were walking down the street, a cold Munich night.
We were just walking and talking. And I said, you know what, Brockman? I don't know what to say. Our quarterback's done. Well, our season is essentially done. I'm getting clowned on social media. I'm getting clowned in person. I don't like this. Like, I didn't do anything to deserve the treatment. I'm getting roses from another man, Rich, and they're laughing at me. I don't think that I'm going to make it.
Carl Anthony Towns, I am sure,
he is
has a florist on speed dial. For this coming Sunday.
Why don't you tell our German fans what happened, just in case they
missed it? I think it's internationally known that Carl Anthony Towns sent you flowers, 44 flowers,
47.
Right? 47 flowers. Oh, that's right. 47. It was 47 flowers in Eagles colors, because that's how many points the Lions had just beaten the Cowboys with, and just 9 flowers for the Cowboys.
Nine. Just right. 9, that was it.
Because that's how many points they scored against the Lions.
Three
but
goals.
Seriously, are you done? You've given up? That Cooper Rush, as you know, has performed very well in these very moments.
I mean, he has. I'm also under the point now. Maybe we should give that.
There it is. Right there. There's the arrangement.
Look at that.
Beautiful arrangement. Everybody here in Munich is now jealous.
It really was.
But yes, Cooper Rush has. Let me help.
5-1 is a career starter.
Great.
Can I help you?
Please help me.
So what is more likely?
That we lose?
Hold on a second.
What's more likely tomorrow?
I understand that. But what is more likely? That Cooper Rush performs well in this situation. Okay.
Okay.
Don't forget, former Panther Jonathan Mingo is now there to catch passes.
Hey, man, that's all we needed was Mingo.
Mingo's in town.
Big addition.
Okay. Mingo. Mingo was his name-o. And so.
All those receivers that we got, Mingo?
Listen, in all seriousness, Cooper Rush has performed well in the past.
Yes, he has.
In these situations, to the point that we have gotten into stupid conversations nationally. I may not have made it internationally, but we have gotten into stupid conversations. That Dak Prescott isn't the better quarterback and Cooper Rush should wind up getting the full-time job when Dak comes back healthy, which a $60 million a year contract now has made completely moot.
Yeah.
But do we see Cooper Rush perform well enough over these next three games to give the Cowboys a shot when Dak Prescott comes back? Okay, I'm not going to say that it's going to be one of those conversations. Give him a shot when he comes back, right, or this season is over.
Let me look at the schedule here, Rich.
I just gave you the schedule.
I know. I've
the
gotta,
next three games.
I'm going to reprocess.
Philadelphia, Philadelphia at home.
That's a win.
Okay.
Blasted.
Oh, my God.
Houston's a win in Washington. I'm back on.
There we go.
I'm back.
Dude, you're just going over. Like the season's over. Dak's not coming back at all this year.
It's rush time. It's rush time, all right?
Why would Dak come back?
Because if Cooper Rush goes 2-2 and they're 5-7.
I will be stunned.
Honestly, Thanksgiving, they play well enough. They win one of the next two at home. They lose at Washington. They go 2-2. They're 5-7 with five more to go. They sweep them with Dak coming back. They feel good about themselves. And they got 10 wins, and they go, and that's the storybook.
No chance.
I like the way you think.
I'm just trying to say that's possible.
All right, Rich, Super Bowl's back on. You talk me into
I don't think it's possible.
Rich is
I don't think it's likely. How does that sound?
Yeah.
What's more
likely? I don't think so. But
what's more likely? Not that.
I feel, you know, how about this? That outside of the nation's water's edge, you can give up on the Cowboys. But once you return to the United States of America, you have to be back on America's team.
So international, I'm fine?
International waters, you know, certain rules, certain
don't
laws
apply.
Don't apply.
Yeah,
that's right. That's true.
So I'm just saying.
That's true. That's a very good
but
point.
Outside of the water's edge,
I've got to.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
But when you get back to the United States, you're back on the Cowboys. And by the time you get back to the United States, you will have already known whether the Cowboys have lost to the Eagles or not.
That's a good point, because we're going to beat the Eagles, and then I'm going to get back on the bandwagon.
If they beat the Eagles, I'll
wear lederhosen.
No, as you know,
back in studio.
I definitely know the number of a good New York City florist.
Oh, please. Oh, yeah.
Susie will know one as well. We'll hook you up.
Oh, man. It's going to be glorious.
Oh, yeah.
It's rush season,
and
Rich.
And here's what you do. Send it straight to Madison Square Garden. So he waits, and we have
it's
the
waiting
Knicks,
for him when
we
he
have
walks
the Knicks
in.
Have the floral arrangement sitting right in his locker.
No, you know what you do?
Do it in front of Hart. And by the way, and Hart knows about it, and Brunson knows about it,
because
Kat mentioned it on their podcast.
I'm internationally known.
You buy time on the Jumbotron, so during a timeout, control him during the game.
I might need Joe Thomas to loan me a few bucks.
I don't know if we can do that,
be able to pay for
Dolan
that.
Will know where it's coming from.
That's true.
And, you know, my name's Mud.
You're facially recognized to not be allowed
I still got in the Sphere in Vegas.
Zone 4, Rich. You're
but don't talk about it. It's like Fight Club. Don't talk about it. So anyway, we are here at the BMW Welt, the iconic BMW World, BMW Welt here in Munich, Germany. It is all good in our neighborhood. Kurt Warner is going to be showing up here in Munich in hour two. Colleen Wolf showing up here in Munich in hour three. And sitting right now on our Roku channel green room couch is none other than Hall of Famer Joe Thomas is joining us next. We are off and running here as we're hanging out in Munich, Germany all the rest of this week on the Rich Eisen Show.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. On the Roku Sports Channel here in Munich, Germany, and joining us here, our radio audience will rejoin us in less than 2 minutes' time. Look who it is. It's Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, everybody. Good to see you, Joe.
Yes, that's where they thank you for having me, Rich.
How are you, Joe?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good to see you. Now, you lived here with your family for a while? Is
that what so 9 months from January through mid-September, I was out here coaching in the European League of Football for the Munich Ravens.
So no kidding.
Lived down the street about a mile, so I said, I'll just take the subway there. I know how to get to the BMW world. Don't worry
about
it.
Who are you coaching?
So I was coaching the offensive line for Munich Ravens, which is one of the ELF teams, European League of Football. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Anybody that you see, like, okay, that's
I'm telling you, my linemen, I keep calling my buddies in the NFL. I'm like, hey, they need a little more development because they don't have the resources and the time that we do, obviously, in the States, but they're every bit as talented as the guys that are playing in the NFL that I played with.
No kidding.
As far as athleticism, like, in Germany, they can create linemen and linebackers. Skill guys, not so much. So you got to go elsewhere for that. But if you want big, strong, tough dudes, like, Germany's got them.
Yeah, I remember, Germany starting to really get some players in the pipeline going to the U.S. going to the NFL and is that where they were coming from this league or
This league's only 4 years old, so it's really young, but I think most of the guys are going a different path and playing in college in the States because you really need that development time, that college time, because they don't have football tied to schools over here. So if you want to play football like in middle school or high school, you got to go join a club. So there's kind of a barrier to entry there, and then they don't have the resources you do like in the States with weight rooms and meal programs and all the things you get going to college. So most of the guys that have made that transition successfully have gone to school in the States for college and then made the jump, like Bjorn Werner and those guys.
Outstanding. Yeah, here we are in Munich. You can hear the sirens in the background.
Yeah, the police
back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. First of two Hall of Famers stopping by here in studio in our first ever international edition of the Rich Eisen Show live here from BMW Welt in Munich, Germany, is Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Thomas here. And your duties for the Sunday game is what again?
To go have some fun. Me and Colleen Wolf are going to be the in-stadium hosts for the game.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd pump up people, the sing-along people, and just a little bit of in-game analysis, but just trying to have fun and bringing the crowd into the game.
So you're saying you're going to be singing Sweet Caroline and stuff like that? Absolutely. Or Country Road?
Yeah, both of them, of course. The classics.
That was great the last time we were here when the crowd started chanting, and seeing just the intensity of the fans here, it just blew my mind, you know, 2 years ago.
You talk to people that have gone to a lot of games, you know. Yeah. If you work in NFL events, production, like, you get a little jaded because you're doing a game every weekend and it's your job. But without fail, every single one of those people that I've talked to that were at that game said it's one of the top five moments in a football game in their life, just because they're playing the song Country Roads and all of a sudden they cut it off. And the entire stadium kept singing for like another 30 seconds. It was amazing just to hear the passion for the game of American football, which is not something that, as an American, I expected when I came over here.
And everybody here is locked in. Like, and the same thing in London as well. I want to make sure that everyone understands is that when, you know, a big play happens and a flag comes in, everybody understands what the flag is mostly for and not, they're not still cheering, you know, inappropriately, right?
Yeah,
they know, something is significant that's happened. Fumbles, interceptions. Mm-hmm. Everybody is locked in on the rules of football and understanding what it's like in real time, watching it, cheering at the right time, also, you know, getting upset at the right time. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's really great to watch, man.
Yeah, one of the cool things for me when I was living here was, you know, just getting to know the neighbors a little bit and asking them, hey, do you know American football? What do you know? And like, without fail, the ones that were really interested, as you know, Germans, they love their detail. They're really big on like stats and, you know, the scientific side of things. And I ask them, you know, you used to love soccer, but now football is more your sport. Why is that? And they say, because they love the strategy of it, because it's so complex and so detailed, above and beyond sort of what they're used to growing up playing or watching soccer, that that's the part that they really have been drawn to more than the big hits, which is, you know, a lot of times as Americans, that's the first thing we like. You know, when I was a kid playing football, I was like, oh, let's play football because I get to hit people. But over here, it's really cool because they understand the game maybe at the same level or even better than Americans in a lot of respects.
How many reps could you give me right now?
Bench or squat?
Well,
like
the thing is,
one,
like the Patriots need some line help, and I'm wondering if Joe had any snaps left. That's all.
I think I got one left. Okay. Maybe like two. If the first one's a run away from me, then I can go another one.
So you get up to 10,365 straight.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like it.
He's my agent on the side.
I like it. I heard that right over there. Well, you saw the Patriots in London. You called that game on NFL Network. Mm-hmm. Is Drake May the real deal? What do you think?
He looks good. I mean, there's nothing that you've seen thus far that says he can't be a great quarterback in this league. Decision-making, accuracy, arm strength, understanding when to use his legs and when not to. Like, he's really improved so much already in just a couple games as a starter. And watching him out there, it was fun. He's a fun watch when he's throwing the ball because he just makes good decisions. And when he does decide to take chances, he's got that great arm.
And you chatted with Jerod Mayo, I imagine, before the game as part of your broadcast meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about him? And obviously he's not Belichick, that's for damn sure.
No.
But what'd you pick up from chatting with the new head
coach? It was cool because, you know, talking with Jerod, he started after his football career like in private equity or in like finance, and then came back and started coaching. And I think he really understands how to get through to today's players. And the one thing that he said that really impressed me was, he's like, I need to get to know my players on a personal level and let them understand that I care about them first before they're going to start trusting me to do what we want them on the field. And he said that was a big change from, you know, even when we came into the NFL. I think he's my age or a year younger. And I think back then, older days in football, it was just like, hey, coach, he tells me what to do, I go do it. But now, you really got to be able to connect with those players. And I think that's one of the things that will make him a great coach down the line.
Joe Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer here in Munich, Germany, live with us is our first guest, our first ever international guest. Kurt Warner will be joining us in hour number two of this program. The best team in the NFL is which right now, do you think?
The Lions.
You do think so?
I think so. I think their line play is so superior that if they were matched up against a team like, let's say, the Chiefs, right? Chiefs always seem to find a way to win those close games.
Yes.
Comes down to pass rush sometimes at the end. I think the Lions' offensive line would be the decision maker in that game because they're just so dominant and they're so multiple. They can beat you in so many different ways. And once they get the lead, Goff's not making any errors, and they can squeeze the ball and run it, or they can protect it if they have to go down the field.
Do you think they're the best O-line in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big gap between them and everybody else.
And anybody else.
I mean, they have the best tackles in the league. They have the best, not the best guards, but they've got great guards. They've got a great center. And so they really also play very well together. And I think they really fit the scheme that they're trying to run. And just they just don't make mistakes. And that's really, as linemen, that's how we get measured.
Yeah. So you think that they're on the path to win the Super Bowl this year then?
Hey, I would love, since the Browns probably not going to win the Super Bowl this year, I can cheer for the Lions because I think there's some brotherhood with those teams that have always been beaten down and that have never won their Super Bowl.
So then let's extrapolate this out.
Oh, here we go.
Joe Thomas.
All right, let's go.
Let's do it. So they take on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, or you think the Chiefs get knocked off before the Super Bowl actually hits?
No.
And if so, by who?
I think the Chiefs make the Super Bowl.
You do.
And teams that can find a way to win close games over and over and over again get a belief in themselves that I think carries through in your preparation, because you go out and how many times do you see in situations that – my coach told me if this happens, this is what we should do. And it happened. And it just happens over and over and over again. And that builds such a level of trust between players and coaches that they'll be prepared for anything going down the stretch, no matter who they're going to play in the playoffs, no matter what style they have to play to go win that game. And then, of course, it doesn't hurt having Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
Well, I mean, where does a team get that ability to just keep on finding the right combination at the right time? And a lot of people think that they're just picking locks right now, just trying to break into a third straight Super Bowl because the doors aren't completely wide open for them because of how difficult it's looked for them. But they're still 8-0. How does a team acquire stuff like
that? I think it starts with having a great quarterback that everybody believes in, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how you get the most out of your players, right? There's belief every single day they walk in that building. And so all those players are like, hey, I want to be part of this thing. I don't want to be the reason why we get stopped short of getting our goal of winning a third Super Bowl. And so they have that daily motivation. Starts with having Patrick as your quarterback, feeling like as long as I do my job, he's going to do whatever it takes to win. And then it translates from there to like having an amazing coaching staff, having a guy like Andy Reid, who's done it in so many different ways throughout his career. And I think just the stoic seriousness that Andy Reid has and his staff have with their preparation, they never let the moment get too big. And I think that's what really helps when they get into those situational type football games at the end where they need, you know, down three, we need a field goal to tie, or we need a touchdown. What are we going to do? Like, they've never panicked because they always know, like, we've been in this situation before. We got Patrick at quarterback. We've practiced it a million times with Big Red. We know exactly what we need to do and how we're going to do it. So they've all got that roadmap built up in their minds.
Bills or a team in the AFC North to knock off the Chiefs, even though you just gave a very well thought out analysis of why the Chiefs are going to win the AFC anyway.
Yeah.
I give you a choice of Bills or an AFC North team to knock them off, even if they have to go to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Would you choose what?
So it's interesting because the Ravens is that team that you want to pick, but their pass defense is so terrible that as soon as in your mind you match them up against a team like the Chiefs, you're thinking, how do they ever stop Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball? And I don't know how they would be able to do it, even though Lamar is surpassing his two MVP seasons in multiple categories right now, and he's a front runner, in my opinion, to win the MVP. Like, I don't know how you are able to win if you can't stop the pass in the playoffs, because you're going to play great quarterbacks every single week. I don't really believe in the Bills. I just feel like when you watch them, they're a team that seems to be flawed because I don't think they fully believe in themselves as contenders to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And so I would actually say the Steelers are probably a team that could knock off the Chiefs, because you can't exactly say why they win these games. You're like, I'm not exactly sure why,
right?
But they don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves, and they play such good defense. TJ Watt, the ultimate closer out there on the edge, rushing the quarterback, would give Patrick Mahomes a ton of problems. And if they can run the ball and play tough, like, sometimes that's a formula that wins games in the playoffs. Not saying it's going to happen,
right?
But if I had to pick one of those options, that's probably what I
boxed you into doing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, so, okay, so you would take the Steelers out of those three, I guess, because we're not including the Bengals in there coming into the Thursday night game, needing to get back to 500. Joe Thomas here on the Rich Eisen Show. I did not include the Texans in that mix, and a lot of people thought that the Texans had a chance going into the season to surpass the Chiefs. they've just had a real tough time protecting C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why. Like, what has happened to that offensive line right now? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's Stroud playing less than he did last year, playing less than, because maybe he's concerned about the trash in front of him. And I don't mean, I'm not referring to his offensive line as such.
Yeah, but
I'm referring to the lexicon of football there, or the fact that he's speeding up because he knows he may have to, or it's just he doesn't have time. So what are you seeing out of the Texans?
Yeah,
it's fixable as well.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is if your offensive line's not protecting for you when they're supposed to, now you get the quarterback, he's looking at his feet. He's looking for, where are these bodies coming from? Where am I going to have to escape? And so instead of having confidence to go through his reads and his progression, he's worried about where the pass rush is. And then you lose a guy like Nico Collins, and you've seen his numbers drop off, because I think in his mind he was like, all right, if my protection breaks down, that's how he's walking to the line of scrimmage every play, which is not a way to be as a quarterback. But you can survive that if you got a guy like Nico Collins, where it's like, all right, if some bad stuff happens that we're not expecting, but I am expecting, boom, he's right there. And so you have that built-in security blanket right there that he doesn't have right now. And so he's kind of forced to go through his progressions, and I don't think he fully trusts the offensive line to get through those progressions and take what the defense gives him.
What you're seeing, is it fixable? Is
when Nico Collins comes back.
Well, I mean, I guess the protection, up front, is that something that, and how does one fix a leaky line? How do you do that, Joe?
Better players? I mean, it's really hard because you don't hardly ever see offensive linemen being traded. Right, you see receivers, pass rusher, rushers, because the chemistry that's built between an offensive line, it takes months, if not years, to be really good and proficient. And it's not like you can just plug somebody in there. So having more experience together can help cover up some flaws, because you can play to your strengths as an offensive line. For instance, if I'm a left guard and I know I'm just not very powerful, right? I just get bull rushed a lot. Hey, I can still play a little bit lighter on my feet, take away some of the speed stuff to the outside, some of the quickness stuff, and then we can just have my center come over and help. And if I'm getting bull rushed, he can just teakettle the defensive tackle that's bull rushing him and just put him on his butt. And that guy's going to remember it. And then maybe he's thinking the next time, yeah, I can't take a bull rush anymore, because that's their game plan, is every time I try to bull rush, he's going to come and knock me. And so you can kind of play those little games within the games once you have a lot of experience and you got guys that have played together a long time. But that's not something that just happens overnight, because you just need that time together.
Who was the guy when you were playing in Cleveland that was just like, okay, this week I need to get my rest? Who was that guy
when you were playing? Freeney. Suggs.
Is that right?
Yeah. James Harrison. I mean, there was a lot of good pass. I mean, there is a lot of good pass rushers in the league. It's a great league, and those are the most important positions: quarterback, pass rusher, left tackle, cornerback. So naturally, they get paid the most, and all the great humans with athletic talent in the United States get funneled to those positions first. And then if they can't do those, oh, gain weight, we'll play something else, or we'll lose a little bit of weight. And I said left tackle, by the way. But I think with a pass rusher, like, they're just such a dominant force to be able to change the game. And when you're playing a guy like Afrini, especially when you're on a team that's not so good, and I know, hey, we might be throwing the ball 45 times today, so he gets 45 one-on-one reps. Now, if I had that in training camp, that would be a nightmare. I'd fake a pulled hamstring or something so I didn't have to go out there in front of the fans and take 45 one-on-ones against Afrini. But that's the life you live as a left tackle.
Let's talk about the Browns before I let you go into your
Munich. Oh, sorry. I got dinner.
Out of time, everybody.
Look at the time.
Joe Thomas, everybody. Thanks for coming on. What are your thoughts on the direction of this franchise right now?
It's as frustrated as I have been as a fan, and I include my time as a player, because going into the season, there was legitimate Super Bowl expectations. That was the conversation around town, and it's been so bad, people forgot about that. I mean, they were a playoff team last year with Joe Flacco, and people thought they were going to have better play at quarterback. They were going to have better play because most of the team was going to come back. And typically when you have most of your team come back, you take a little step in the right direction. And so I think it's just been beyond frustrating, because expectations were up here, and they're struggling to beat bad teams. I mean, they are a bad team, really. And I think it's frustrating because there's not a clear direction. Because of the salary that the quarterback has, Deshaun Watson, you don't know what you can do. And then you look, okay, well, let's just say this offseason we're going to try to replace Deshaun and get a young quarterback in the draft. Now, of course, the draft is always a crapshoot. We don't really know, but it's not like the draft analysts are telling us there's tons of great quarterbacks that are going to be coming out of college this year and surefire guys that can change your franchise overnight. So I don't think there is a clear direction if it's a full teardown or if they just think, hey, this year was an anomaly. We can tweak a few things, keep a lot of the same guys together, and just try to survive with a small cap. And hopefully you get different results.
Yeah, I mean, tweaking a few things would probably mean keeping Deshaun Watson and Andrew Berry after sending Za'Darius Smith to Detroit, Amari Cooper to Buffalo. He had a press conference on Wednesday and had this to say on the subject of Deshaun.
Really, our focus with Deshaun, I would say for any player with a season-ending injury and a major injury, is first and foremost with the recovery and to make sure that he gets healthy from the Achilles injury. You know, everything else we'll deal with at a later moment.
Have you assessed how he played, though, before he got hurt?
Yeah, I would say, more broadly, Tom, we didn't play well. We haven't played well as a team, and we haven't played well as a unit on offense. And I think oftentimes when you don't play well on offense, obviously your starting quarterback and your play caller will get the most, you will get the most criticism. But the reality is offense is it comes down to organization and synchronization. And, there's just a lot of shared ownership across the different position groups in terms of why we didn't perform.
A big we'll see on having Watson back as the quarterback next year.
Yeah.
I mean, would you, like, what would you counsel on that front? Joe,
it's such a unique situation, right? Because of the guaranteed contract, because of the salary cap hit. It's not like you can trade him. If you cut him, then the rest of the salary accelerates.
It sure
it's almost impossible.
Right.
So it's almost like you have to understand he's going to be on the team. Do you think he's going to be able to recover enough and bounce back, not only just from the injury, but as a player? Because when he was out there, there was some good, but more bad than good. So that clip was like a minute, and basically he said, maybe, but we're in a tough spot, because it's not like you have an easy answer. Like, sometimes you can say as a franchise, all right, we know that if we trade a bunch of guys, cut a bunch of guys, we'll have a bunch of salary cap space. We can sign people in free agency, or we can pick up a bunch of draft picks, and then we can change the roster like that. They don't have either of those two traditional options really available to them. And so it almost seems like it's going to be a, we'll see, probably go with what we had this year and hope for better results and tweak some things on the edges.
Maybe tweaking the game plan or the scheme to make sure it's what worked with Flacco and what Stefanski is known to call and his strengths, and basically tell Deshaun to commit to that. I mean, was that an issue that we were seeing in the first half of the season?
Yeah, so that was one of the things. I listened to Andrew Berry's press conference because I'm a Browns guy.
Attaboy.
And thank you. And one of the things he did say, he was kind of talking about why the team has struggled so much. And I think it seemed like he was not placing the blame, but explaining it a little bit, that they brought in Ken Dorsey to be an offensive coordinator because they wanted to develop an offense that was maybe different than what Stefanski had done previously, by having more shotgun offensive plays, which is what Deshaun's more comfortable with, a little bit more of some of the things that Ken Dorsey did when he was in Buffalo, and get away from the under center play action, which is what Stefanski's history has been with Joe Flacco. And I think he mentioned how slow people were to try to understand kind of what they were doing, and maybe they didn't have everything fleshed out by the time the season started because they didn't know what guys were good at, what guys weren't as good at. And so I think part of this might be, hey, let's not scrap the offense, but let's make sure we really take a critical look at what we're doing and what we're asking these guys to do, scrub down and find out, all right, what are the core concepts that we are good at, that Deshaun can do with this roster of guys that we have, and then maybe sort of extrapolate and highlight those things and just get rid of some of the stuff that they were having a hard time picking up on.
To me, it would just be, and I don't know if I'm oversimplifying it, it would be, here's what we're good at. What the two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, is good at.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what we're good at. And we have seen the good. We saw the good in Deshaun Watson before in the game that he got hurt against Baltimore. Mm-hmm. He was the Deshaun, like, that's as close to the Texans' Deshaun Watson that we've seen. He was terrific. And then all of a sudden, it's like he's hurt. And like, oh my gosh, he's not only hurt, he's hurt for the season.
Yeah.
And then we saw what Flacco did. We saw what Jameis Winston did in his first start, although, albeit not the second.
Yes.
But we did see, like, there are things that can be done.
Yeah.
And let's do those. Is that oversimplifying it? Or
no, I think that's a great analysis. And I think potentially what they're going to do this offseason is say, Deshaun, we know you're comfortable in the shotgun, but we're just going to play under center because that's what Stefanski knows. That's what he's best at. That's
Chubb's
what
these good guys at that too, right?
It just opens up so much more that you can do in the rushing game when you are under center, because when you line up in the shotgun, defense immediately has that checklist in their minds of things you can't do anymore because the running back's not right behind the center. So they have so much of an easier time to be able to read and react when you do line up in the shotgun, because you have a much fewer things in their menu of run plays that you can do. And so I think they're probably just going to – they haven't told me this, but I'm thinking like you are, like, hey, sorry, Deshaun, you're just going to have to learn to play under center because that's what we're going to do. And we've proven – we saw last year
–
this is just not an offense that's good enough to play out of the shotgun all the time. We need to go back to doing the fancy stuff.
I'll see you in the arena, sir, on Sunday. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The one and only Hall of Famer Joe Thomas helping kick off our shows live from Munich, Germany. When we come back, we'll hear what's going on in Chicago with Caleb Williams. I've got my power rankings, and then we've also got Kurt Warner stopping by. That's how we're rolling here on our first day. Yeah, where's the Lederhosen, man?
It's coming out later. Yeah, just wait.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy.
Comfy.
I'm cozy.
Cozy.
I have zero blisters on my toes.
Blisters.
And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
So I tell Mark Norman and Shane Gillis, my two openers.
Yes.
I say, hey, we're doing the Mullet Arena. We'll do two shows. We do one show Saturday night. Sells out at Friday. Sells out at Wednesday, at Thursday. Doing four shows. Guys, it's a little treat. Super Bowl tickets on me. Good seats. $125,000.
Well, you're going for the primo if you're talking about that.
I didn't know. My wife called and she goes, they just took $125,000 out of our account. Is something going on? Do you need to talk to me about something? Are you going to South Africa for a month? I was like, no, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't even like either of the teams. This is the rub.
Oh, no.
They don't tell you your seats until Friday.
Get out of here.
You don't know where you're sitting. I don't even know who I gave the money to.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know. My manager just gave me $125,000. And I gave it to somebody. I feel like Bernie Madoff's client. Like, I'm just sitting there going, so you think Bitcoin's going to really do well? I hope this money turns out. Matt Damon said we're cool. I heard Tom Brady's involved. This should be a win-win, right?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard and crying.
I don't even know who I don't even know when I get my ticket.
It's the greatest heist ever.
I'm
My guns are so lame, but I still limp.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, if I have bad seats, I'm going to be limping. I hate the Super Bowl. I'm going to be rooting against both teams.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Phoenix felt when we were there for the Super Bowl. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely hilarious. Back on the Rich Eisen Show here in Munich, Germany. Hey, friends, if you haven't noticed, basketball season has gotten underway, and Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, makes it even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks, I've been telling you, put it on your mobile device near you and start buying tickets, because Game Time Picks filters out the fluff, shows you only incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. There is also that feature that allows you to see the court view from your seats, so you can pick your ticket based on how great the view is, and of course maybe how priced it is. And so the all-in pricing feature gives you the total up front. There's no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit gametime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game time. Christopher, had this been just an any old Thursday show, we're sitting there in our El Segundo studio, you'd be fresh off talking about how the Celtics losing to the Golden State Warriors didn't mean anything because Jaylen Brown was hurt.
Correct.
Right? And that had nothing to do with any chip on the shoulder with Steve Kerr that was being in there, and Jason Tatum led the team in scoring. Didn't matter anyway. He was great.
Last night, this morning, whenever the game was played.
Understood. I know you kind of lose on that. When you look at your app right here and like, oh, they're tipping off at 2 a.m. Wait a minute, 2 in the morning, what the hell's happening? Oh, yes, it's the local timer. Yeah, exactly. So long story short, the Warriors have started off quite well in this NBA campaign. Almost as well as your Celtics.
7-1, 5-0 on the road. Warriors, definitely one of the surprise NBA teams. I think we can say that without a shadow of a doubt.
I know, and Curry looked pretty darn good, and Draymond Green's playing, and the rest of this team is gelling. And
Buddy Hield shooting the lights out.
I was just, I did watch some of that game a little bit with my the Wi-Fi connection before passing out on the flight over here. I was looking for the chip on the shoulder of number zero, couldn't find it last night. And I'm just wondering if the fact that the Celtics didn't beat the Warriors with that chip on Jason Tatum's shoulder, that it's entirely possible that there is some discussion within that locker room, that Steve Kerr being there, about the minutes that Jrue Holiday got, Derek White didn't get, but he did get to go instead of Jaylen Brown. I'm just wondering if Kerr's appearance in front of them sparked any of the controversy that we're the only show that's pointing out. I'm wondering if that
you're
happened.
Saying I completely made this whole thing up. Is that what you're saying?
Oh no, I'm just saying I'm just saying if what you're saying is the truth, then last night, the Celtics would have actually held serve on their home floor.
Well, Tatum can't do it by himself. He led all scorers last night.
It just shows you what happens when he gets the minutes.
5 of 10 from three. Right. You play the guy who's a top five player. He plays like a top five player.
Okay. But not enough to
warrant Olympic minutes.
The Warriors scored 118. He's going to score 119?
No, there's other Olympians on the team.
Right.
As we know, there's one who's not an Olympian. He didn't play last night.
The NBA Finals MVP didn't play. What do you want him to do?
I mean,
it's also November, whatever day it is. We're good. Not worried. Celtics are going to repeat. It's all good.
Yeah, leave the worry to me, because in addition to me being
let's talk about this guy's team.
A loser for the Cowboys, I got two basketball teams, and they both stink. So, I mean, like, I should just stop watching sports.
Yeah, playoff P wound up in Intuit Dome last night.
Getting booed last night.
I mean, I was going to be at the game, except I was walking around these Munich streets.
Okay.
And here's the other thing about Joel Embiid. Yeah, like, he hasn't played yet this year, and he gets suspended for his interaction with the reporter in the – in the locker room. He gets suspended 3 games.
This is
a you want to punish the guy? Make him play 3 games in a row.
And here's a good line. Well, here's the deal, Rich. Is it just
that's a punishment?
Is a punishment.
Is it 3 games after the punishment was doled out, or are the 3 games where he actually is going to suit
Joel
up and like,
Embiid.
No, you're not going to play. Like,
I don't want to hear about this dude ever again until he wins something substantial.
Listen, the dude has broken his face twice, Rich, and he played.
Get out of the second round.
He's dislocated his fingers. He's messed up his knees. He still goes out.
Embiid, last time we saw him, I think he was starting for the Olympic
team. He got
right?
Olympic run, unlike some people on the team, you know, and that's fine.
That were just not worthy of those minutes.
I guess not. Apparently not.
Get out of here, Joel Embiid.
I love taking our stupidity on the road across the pond and deep into Europe. This is fantastic. All right, my power rankings, the latest from the Chicago Bears, and then Kurt Warner coming up hour two. Still here on the Roku channel.
By the way, I just looked up and I'm like, it's dark. And in my mind, I had to process, oh, yeah, we're not.
Can we show a shot of the roof here in BMW Velt? Can we show that?
It is trippy.
I mean, it's like we're inside of a space station.
It really is. It looks like a planetarium.
Right.
You know, that we're in the midst of a planetarium.
I'm going to look up and
it's
look at
Ursa
Major.
It's kind of like the Oculus.
Major.
It's SoFi.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
My gosh.
It is amazing.
I walked in here and the first thing I thought was, we are so fortunate with our partnership with the Roku channel and Roku and the hardworking team that says, you know, let's fix you up with BMW and BMW wanting to be fixed up with us and all that stuff. And I honestly came in this room. Oh, by the way, how about that brand new BMW electric i5?
I showed
that to Coop on the phone, on a FaceTime. He goes, oh, Dad, that's the electric i5. I'm like, yes, that's terrific.
And you were from a distance and he called it.
It's great. So at any rate, it's an all electric. But I came in here and I thought to myself, self, we've had a great run, and we plan on having great runs to come. Will it get any better than BMW Velt? I don't know.
Unless we go out in outer space.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I said we will not do the show from Munich unless we get an all-electric BMW i5 and a show color that's matte finish.
Electric and matte blue.
Boom.
And there it is, a brand new car.
Hey!
Something TJ didn't win and isn't going to get now. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.